Good morning, everybody. Welcome in. It's the Mary Griffith Show, and no, I am not Mary. I am Scott Hardy, but glad to be sitting in for Mary, and we've got an action-packed hour for you here. And of course, we'll be talking more about the Quincy Park Band's big plans, but first, let's get a little culture, a little art. Oh, look at you and your glasses, Sandra Hyde. Those are stylish and nice.
Well,
I love those.
Thank you, Scott.
Love those. Little tortoise shell look. It's like... I'm a serious businesswoman. You better listen. And I am going to listen because you've got some exciting things coming up at the Arts Center that folks really need to know about.
I do. There are about three things I'd love to talk to you about.
Sweetly.
The first one is we have an amazing bicentennial exhibit opening this Friday, June 20th from 6 to 8. And it's going to feature, we've really got three exhibits in one. The first one's going to feature Edward Everett. The second one, Nisa McMean. And the third one will be Architecture of Quincy from the Art Center's permanent collection. So all three galleries will have a variety of art that will celebrate our 200 years.
Very nice. Now, when I think of Edward Everett, I think of the author. Is this...
This is an artist, so okay. This is lost art of Edward Everett, and this is actually a collection that the Historical Society has on loan to us.
Lost art. Now, what did Mr. Everett do? What kind of media did he work with? And
he was a painter,
okay.
And he, though not from Quincy, he lived in Quincy for a while and painted some wonderful and interesting buildings and landscapes here. He is best known for his Alamo picture in Texas. So anytime you think of that iconic picture, or for me it was in my history book.
Wow.
It's actually his, but he did come to Quincy and paint, you know, our beautiful area.
So probably you're going to see some portraits, some paintings of buildings that may not be around anymore.
Yes, that is indeed true. Yes.
Nice. What was it like when you got this together and then you did some background research on Mr. Everett and saw that picture of the Alamo and realized, wait a minute.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that credit we must give to the Historical Society that they've done the research and shared it with us. But it is fascinating as much as looking at more current architecture and buildings, because in our collection we have a vast array of beautiful homes, recognizable buildings and churches in the community. So we'll have those on display, as well as some really interesting blueprints that the Architechniques is sharing with us. And we will also have a featured corner on the Art Barn, which was our previous name before we became the Art Center. So we've got a little history, you know, going down memory lane on 100 years of us transforming.
Now, some of these buildings, people are going to know once
see
them.
Yes. I imagine every building has been on one of the wonderful preserves walks, or they're right on Main Street. You drive by them all of the time.
Yeah. You're probably going to hear the name John Benyo a lot.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
That's what I thought. A lot of the homes in the East End District, too, I'm sure are going to be there as well.
Yes,
so
yes.
That's neat. Tell me more about Nisa McMean.
Well, this is perhaps what we've spent the most time researching, because once we did a little deep dive into Nisa, who made it onto the ruler to celebrate the bicentennial, we really wanted to ensure that our collection, you know, was brought out. We have both permanent and non-permanent pieces of hers. She was best known, well, she's from Quincy, and best known for her illustrations that she did for women's magazines and Saturday Evening Post before Norman Rockwell.
Oh, wow.
Yes, so she really became a person of some renown when she left Quincy and went to New York City and hung around quite an illustrious group, the Algonquin Club, and again, familiar names, Charlie Chaplin, the Marx Brothers, you know, Dorothy Parker. She really mixed with the who's who of people at that time, and was an ardent supporter of the suffragette movement as well.
Oh, nice. So she was literally in the hoi polloi when you wanted to be called that, in the hoi polloi.
That's exactly right.
Wow.
So we've really made her exhibit, I might use the word, a little whimsical in some ways. There's an area where you can, it's an interactive area where you can pose as one of her beautiful portraits, which will be in the room. And we've also done a timeline of her life, so you can follow her from her more humble beginnings here in Quincy to when she was sort of at the peak of her career in the 30s and 40s.
Yeah, and I'm sure she was written about quite a bit in both the Quincy Herald, the Quincy Whig, and all the other newspapers back then. So.
Yes, and we have those articles quoted along the way. Yeah.
All right, very, very nice. So that exhibit will be up. The opening of that is this Friday, June 20th, 6 to 8, and it'll be up through the end of August as well. And you've got something special that night planned at 6:30.
We do. We do. We are so fortunate to have Tony Crane, one of the founders of Architechnics, to come and do a talk on Quincy's architectural history and its cultural significance. So Tony's a good friend of ours. He was on the team when we did our transformation from barn to center, so to speak, 35 years ago. And he's just a friend of ours. And, of course, one of our most well-known historians when it comes to architecture in this area.
So he's probably going to go through some of the blueprints, and if you're not sure what it is you're looking at, he might just tell you, well, this is, did this, and then let them do this. And
absolutely, and he knows, he was sharing with me the other day, he knows who was studying under who, because a lot of Architechnics history is that way. You know, who were the founding architects, who first came here, who you know, worked under them or in the same office, and how that kind of grew into all the beautiful buildings that we see, the different influences, that people had along the way.
So they would have varied, they would have maybe strayed slightly in terms of their style, but they probably would have stayed true to what their main, the main look of the building was.
Yes, yes.
Very, very nice. That's coming up again this Friday at the Arts Center. It is the Bicentennial Exhibits, Friday night, 6 to 8, with special guest Tony Crane of Architechnics, starting at 6:30. And the exhibit will be up through August the 2nd, so be sure to stop on by for that one. And coming up this fall, you've got to save the date that you want folks to
notice. We do. We do. As much as we are very enthusiastic about the Bicentennial Exhibit, we have our annual, probably the very favorite show that people think of Quincy Arts Center, which is our Mary S. Oakley and Lee Lindsay Area Artist Showcase. So that's returning for its 31st year in November. And we are hoping for a record number of entries. We are going to expand our region a little bit to infuse it with some local talent a little bit further afield. But we're mentioning it now because people can enter up to three pieces. And we have more than once had someone run in the morning of last morning of drop-off with wet paint.
Oh,
on their pieces, and one, I'm going to add, as it happened this year. So we're letting people know so that they can start, you know, choosing their favorite pieces or perhaps creating some new pieces in the next few months that they can enter.
Very nice. So when you say that you're expanding, just I'm curious because I know that there's a large arts culture just to the south. Is it a city that rhymes with Bannable?
Well, we have a number of Hannibal artists.
Oh, good.
That already enter, and some of our close friends just across the river have won many, many times.
Good.
And perhaps will again. And of course, we want them to enter, but we're even going just a little bit further afield than that.
Okay.
And so we're finalizing that very soon.
Sure, why not take advantage? Because I know that they have the 50 miles of art from Hannibal to Clarksville. Why not take advantage of that?
Yes, exactly.
Very good, very good. We're talking it over with the executive director of the Quincy Arts Center, Sandra Hyde, about some exciting things coming up at the Arts Center that you really don't want to miss out on. And this is some advanced planning that Sandra is doing, but she wants you to save it on your calendar, get out your phone, get out your piece of paper, whatever you need. It's the annual holiday art gala on December the 20th at the Ambiance.
Yes, we are just thrilled to bring a special evening that's celebrating the arts as a fundraiser. for the Art Center. It's been a while since we've done this. We've listened to the community and what they want, and what they've said is, can you please have something that is intimate and beautiful so that when our families come home for Christmas, we can dress up and go out and just have a lovely evening. So,
and have a drink.
Yeah. And have a drink, yeah. And have some delicious food. And so we have absolutely put an artistic flair on this. It will be unlike any other gala that you've been to this year. And that's on December 20th. That's a Saturday. So we are hoping people will come and enjoy an entertaining night. There's going to be a lot of art. We're having some beautiful desserts and some late night snacks from one of our favorite restaurants in town, 8 Open. And of course, an opportunity to dance and connect with friends and family that maybe you haven't seen for a while.
Yeah, and the big thing about this is the reason that you're mentioning this, Sandy, is because tickets go on sale very soon.
Yeah, they go on sale this Friday. We're doing the big unveil this Friday. And so those you can get online on our website. You can obviously just pop in. You can just give us a call and say, help me buy some tickets because I'm not loving technology or QR codes. So any way you want to do it, we are encouraging people to get them early because it's a finite amount that we can sell. So individual tickets are $100, but if you buy a table of 8, it's a $720, and we think that's something that a lot of people will do. And like I said, bring their family and their friends. That's historically what happens around Christmas time.
Exactly. You save $10 a seat, and the money goes to some really great promotions and programs that you offer with the Quincy Public Schools.
Yeah, yes, it does. I mean, it really supports everything that we do, but something that we've started this year that we're going to scale in the years to come is ensuring that our youth, kindergarten through third grade, who at this time don't have art teachers, that's just not the structure of our public schools, that they do have art. And so we go in as artists in residence. It's not an after-school program. We spend weeks with students, and this year we started with third grade, and they learned an amazing amount of skills, built their confidence as artists, and created a 12-foot mural in every single elementary school. We also do support the parochial schools. We have a START program as well, and so it also supports that program. So just our mission, which is to ensure that art is accessible and that every youth has an opportunity to experience the power of art and power of creativity.
Yeah, you've gotten a really nice buy-in from the Quincy Public Schools with that. And I know, folks, if you want to find out more, just go to WTAD.com in the Mary Griffith Show podcast section. Look up Art Center. And I believe it would have been like a few months ago, really detailed description of this. And you really are getting involved in the schools and really bringing the kids some quality so that way it improves their whole educational experience.
Absolutely. You know, my background is education. And so it was really my first priority was to look at our mission and sort of translate that to make sure that we're inclusive in this community, and that every single child has that opportunity to make art and quality art. All of our instructors are certified teachers. They're not volunteers. Some of them have masters in art instruction.
Wow.
And so it's a very high-level, high-quality program that we offer. And we're just thrilled that Quincy Public Schools and the leadership there have opened their arms to us and have made this really easy. They've shared their curriculum with us so that we could pair it with what teachers are already teaching so that it's more meaningful for the youth. And the feedback from the teachers has just been extremely positive, which I know, being someone who was running schools, that's number one right there. If they're enjoying it and they see the value it's adding to the education that they're offering, it's a plus.
Yeah, it sure is. Sandra Hyde from the Quincy Arts Center. If you want to find out more about anything we've talked about, just go to quincyartcenter.org. That's quincyartcenter.org. And find out more. It is always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you so much, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Always, always, always. We're at 9:31. Coming up now on 9:34, and time for our first look at how the markets are doing on this Monday morning. Of course, talking about the latest prices from the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange. And for that, we go to the Ursa Farmers Co-op for the latest. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. Corn for July is down 12 at 4:32. September, it's down 9 at 4:19. Soybeans for July is down 4 at 10.65. August is down 2 at 10.66. Wheat for July is down 11 at 5.32. Soybean meal for July is down 5 at 2.86. Lean hogs for July is up 1 at 1.1077. Feeder cattle for August is up 2 at 3.0927. Live cattle for August is up 3 at 2.1592. Crude oil is down 2 at 68.91. And the Dow Jones is up 520 at 42,727. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Mary Griffith Show. Scott Hardy in for Mary, if that's not apparently obvious from this music. On the in studio with us now, we're going to be talking about the Quincy Park Band and a big project that they have got planned here over the next 25 minutes. Alongside is Jeff Schuking and Park Band Director John Hume. Gentlemen, good morning. Thanks for being in.
Good morning. Thanks
morning.
For having us.
Thanks for having us.
Yes. Now, tell folks what it is that you are planning to do, what it is that you're wanting money. Why do you want money?
So the Showmobile was a gift that was given to the Quincy Park Band anonymously about 30, 31 years ago. And it is now showing its time. And so instead of trying to replace that Showmobile, we'd like to put a permanent bandstand in Madison Park. That's where we're headed. So the total cost of the project is approximately $500,000. The Quincy Park District is going to contribute $200,000, leaving the Quincy Park Band to raise $300,000. And so that's where we're at. And this is going to be a state-of-the-art design with acoustically... come on, help me. What am I looking for here?
It's a state-of-the-art band shell. Acoustically sound, new lighting. It'll be a great addition to Madison Park.
Oh, I'm sure that it would. And one of the things about the mobile one, yes, it was mobile, but boy, oh boy, if you got some rain in Madison Park, it wasn't so mobile.
You're going to get wet.
Well, not only are you going to get wet, sometimes if the ground was too soft, it became somewhat permanent, at least for a short period of time.
Right. Yep. So the design on this is like John's, it's going to be state-of-the-art. It is going to be a 50 frontage foot by 40 foot deep, and we're going to have some storage area on the back, which will be climate controlled, and so everything comes at a cost.
Yeah, it does. Now, explain to someone who's not really versed in music why you would need a climate controlled area.
So we're going to put not only our chairs, but we're going to have musical equipment there. Percussion, sound equipment, having it climate controlled, you're talking about timpani heads will not stand up to the heat or the cold, and same with the electronics, it's very hard on them. So we're going to put that climate control in there and, build it state-of-the-art.
Exactly. So this campaign, it's been underway for some time, obviously, in order to get the park district behind that. But have you guys given yourself like a bit of a deadline on when you would like to have the money raised and when you want construction to start?
Well, we like to get the money raised just as soon as possible. We had a nice start last night with the Quincy Service League, made a wonderful donation of $10,000. And so that kind of got us jump started. For those of you who don't know, the Quincy Service League has been a wonderful supporter of the Quincy Park Band for over 30 years and sponsoring the normal Flag Day concert. And this gift was a nice surprise for all of us.
I bet it was. So that's a nice way to go to get that started. But basically, you'll be basically asking for donations at every concert, I'm assuming, right?
You are correct. Okay. And we've got a special process of something a little different we're going to do. I'm going to let John talk about that for a minute.
Okay, John.
One of the things we're doing this year, just kind of a little fun way to bring awareness to the fact that we are raising money for the new bandstand, is we're having guest MCs at each of our concerts. If you've never been to a park band concert, we have an MC. We don't print programs for the concerts, of course, and we have a guest MC that kind of tells about the pieces we're going to play. Normally, it's always been one of our band members that have done the job for us in the past, but this year we're having guest MCs come in at every concert. Last night, Carlos Hernandez was our guest MC, did a wonderful job from the Quincy Service Club. We had Laura Heseltine was our let off the season on June 1st. Unfortunately, our June 8th concert had to be canceled because of some rain. Jody Steinke was going to be our guest MC that night. But we're kind of having our MCs go out. We're passing the bucket around at the concerts. They're also free to go out and raise money on their own. But at the end of the season, whoever raises the most money is going to get to guest conduct Sousa March at one of our final concerts. Just kind of a fun way, something fun to do this summer, kind of a battle of the baton, so to speak. And the winner gets to conduct.
And, John, I would be remiss if I didn't mention, following my notes that Mary left me about this interview, most of them was about her appearance as a guest conductor on July the 6th.
Yes, Mary's going to be one of our guest MCs.
Yes, and she says that she is standing by with her triangle, ready whenever you might need her.
All righty. Good to hear.
Told her to bring the check, too.
Well, enjoy the triangle, is what I'm saying. I'm saying she might try to get you to do a horn triangle duet. I don't know. Is there a piece of music written for a horn triangle duet?
I'm sure there is somewhere.
We could probably find something.
Yep.
And if anybody wants to be a guest conductor and be a part of this fundraising effort, they just need to get in touch with you guys, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
All right. Very, very good. We're at 9:41 here. And coming up, we'll talk more about some of the events that are going to be going on this summer as the Quincy Park Band tries to raise money for a new band shell in Madison Park at 24th Street and Main. And you can help them out. We'll find out more about that here on the Mary Griffith Show on WTAD. Welcome back to the Mary Griffith Show. Scott Hardy in for Mary at 9:43 is alongside Jeff Shooking and Park Band Director John Hume talking about the Park Band's efforts to raise money for a new permanent bandstand and bandshell in Madison Park. And that would make a really nice addition to the park, just a nice architectural look if in and by itself.
Not only for the Park Band, but also for the community.
Yes.
And the Park District, we think we've selected a nice design that'll fit in with the neighborhood, and it's going to be great. Just so you know, that all of your donations are tax deductible, and they can that we are a 501c3 corporation, and they can be sent to 1627 State in care of Beers Tax Service.
All right, very good. 1627 State Street in Quincy. Care of Beers Tax Service, and of course the newsman in me is coming out. What kind of shape is it going to be? Going to be like an oval? Going to be more square? What are you thinking?
Kind of more square in design. It'll look a lot like the Showmobile does, kind of the same design with a roof. In talking with the architect last week, I believe the peak of the roof, kind of about a 20-foot tall structure. But as Jeff was saying, the best part of it, it's a great thing for the community. Park District's talking about potentially doing movies in the park with it, up in the ceiling of it, having a projection screen that would come down. They could do a movie in the park type thing. It was also other musical groups could also play in it and provide other concerts in the park. So not only a great benefit to the Park Band, but also just a great benefit to Madison Park in general.
It sure sounds like it. It really, really does, and it'll mark a further progression in the Park Band's history, because beforehand, I mean, how were the concerts before you even got the mobile stand? Was it just chairs in the park and hope for the best? Or?
Well, it started out in South Park, and they played in the bandstand in South Park, and then the band started growing, And then we wound up on the ground because we outgrew the bandstand. We did that for many years. And then it was the, 89, 90, 91, the showmobile was gifted to us and got us up off the ground.
Yeah, and for a lot of years, it worked perfectly fine for you. But then, success breeds change, doesn't it?
It does. Mm-hmm. After 31 years, the showmobile is starting to show its time. And so this is a perfect opportunity for the park band to make the next step forward.
Yeah, because, compare it to what the money that you would spend to fix up the showmobile, it might be less, do you think? Or do you know for sure?
That we don't know for sure.
Okay.
I know the park district, to have somebody bring that showmobile from the park district to Washington Park, I know it's a process, and to hire somebody who's got to have a CDL to do that and have experience pulling that big trailer. And so this is going to eliminate a lot of that. This is going to be, again, a state-of-the-art shell, and we're really looking forward to it. So to go back a little bit, it'll either probably, depending on how soon we can get enough money together, either break ground late this fall or the first of next spring.
Very good. That's ambitious, but you know what? You got to shoot for the stars, really,
Exactly.
Yeah, and hopefully you get to more great donations like you got from the Quincy Service Club. Correct that there. Sorry if we mispronounced it there, but looking forward to that. But tell me about just being with the park band, the experience. It must just be a happy time to know, like each week during the summer, you both get to be musicians and really do what you enjoy.
Last night it was interesting to see how many people who have played with the park band for so many years. Pam Potter and Bill DeMott were, 60 plus years. Myself, I've got about 47, 48 in. John, you've got quite a few.
I'm in my 30s.
So the guys that have played, it's a small family is what it is. We enjoy doing it, or we wouldn't be doing it.
Yeah. But just thinking back again, I've been involved in organizations that have needed to use the mobile shelter before, and it was just like, we've got to go through this and we've got to go through that. Just having something there permanent, it's going to make it really, really nice.
It really will. And the park band has been providing free concerts for 77 years.
Yeah.
And, we solely exist on donations. That's what it boils down to.
Yeah. Just to do the shows. And, of course, all the shows during the summer as well as the Christmas concert, too. So it's vitally important that if folks want to keep it, they need to help out.
To help us. Yep, help us.
Yeah, exactly. So we're coming up at 9:49, talking it over with Jeff Schuking, as well as Quincy Park Band Director John Hume, here on The Morning Show, back with more on WTAD. Welcome back to the Mary Griffith Show. Scott Hardy in for Mary, and no, you will not hear Layla at the Quincy Park Band concerts, but you will hear a lot of other great music. A couple of guys who know a thing or two about music in the park band are in today. Jeff Schuking and park band director John Hume. Guys, thanks so much for being here, and welcome back.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
I was thinking maybe if you wanted to do a special version of Roll Out the Barrel for you and Mary, Jeff, that might be something she could keep up with.
We could probably do that.
I thought that you could.
Yeah.
I thought that you could ding along with that one. You've got a lot of great concerts coming up here throughout the summer with different venues and different styles of music each week. And, of course, the special one, of course, is coming up for the 4th of July holiday weekend.
True, it is.
Yes.
And we've got a lot of other concerts. John, tell them about it.
Probably one of the band's favorite concerts is coming up this Sunday, and that's the big band concert. So if you're a fan of big band jazz music, this is the concert for you. Featuring everything from 1940s, Glenn Miller, Count Basie, Duke Ellington, all the way up through some of the modern jazz. Just a really great concert, probably one of our better attended concerts throughout the season.
Some Wynton Marsalis, perhaps?
Possibly.
Oh, wow. Wow, that sounds great. Dorsey Brothers, too?
Yep.
All right, very, very good. And, of course, the 4th of July concert, not actually on the 4th, it'll be, like, I believe the 6th. But
actually, we do a 4th of July concert.
Oh, okay, on the
4th. We'll be on the 4th.
All right.
And then we'll play again on the 6th.
Look at you guys. Look at you guys go, man. And, of course, that continues throughout the month of July and into early August.
End of July.
Yep. So get on out to a show. Yeah, it'll be a little toasty this Sunday, but don't worry about that. Enough trees have grown back into Madison Park from the 2015 windstorm that things are going to be nice and cool.
It's a great setting out there.
Beautiful.
It really is.
Yeah, it really, really is. And I'm thinking that once this park shell, once this band shell is fully completed, that boy, oh, boy, a lot of folks are going to be interested in getting a hold of this building and using it for their own promotions and things like that. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. So if folks want to give money, if folks are inspired by what we've been talking about, tell me all the different ways that they can do that.
More than welcome to come to a concert and hand Jeff a check at the concert. We also have a way to donate electronically. You can donate through PayPal. The link to that can be found on our website at qcyparkband.com. And then in the announcement part on the website, there's a link that you click, and it'll walk you through all the steps. You're more than welcome to drop your donations off at Beers Tax Service, 1627 State. We'd love you just to come to the concerts and hand it to us right there.
Yeah, you can. You guys got pockets, right?
Mm-hmm.
Big ones. The goal, once again, is to raise now $290,000 since the Quincy Service Club was wonderful enough to give you a $10,000 donation over the weekend and get this park shell. And you want to get started on the construction of it, hopefully, if not this fall, then the first part of the early spring.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. So what... what unusual things? I'm sure you've had some things go out of the ordinary at all your some of your performances. There's always something where something unexpected happens, and I'm sure you've got some stories about that. Are there anything that you can share, just to know that things don't always happen in the ordinary way? It's not just another run of the mill concert.
Weather is usually the big X factor. We haven't figured out how to control that just yet. You know, we start a concert and it's clear blue sunny sky, and before the concert's over, we're running for the hills.
That does happen. That does happen. I've had that happen once in the opposite direction. I was one of my sons was in scouting, and we went to an eagle ceremony up at Camp Saukanaw, which is off of 96 there, just north of Lima. And it was a Sunday night, and when it started, it was... you know, it was a July summer night, you know, nice and balmy and humid. Oddest thing I've ever seen. A front actually came through a nice breeze, and it lowered the temperature by about 15 degrees. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. I've never seen that before. It was like somebody called in a special favor or something like that. I've never seen that before. What about you, Joe?
Well, like the one that last year we had, it was nice. We started playing the concert, and next thing you know, it's a downpour. And there was no place to go. The wind was blowing.
No real warning of it coming in.
And because we thought we were going to miss that, according to the radars. But we got in the middle of it, and we spent a few days drying out music and drying ourselves out.
Oh, man.
So.
But more concerned about the music than you were yourselves, probably.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's hard. Some of the music you can't replace anymore. And they're such great tunes. So, you know, you try to preserve all of that.
Yeah, they don't really, a lot of the stuff that you might have, they don't really print that anymore, do they?
A lot of the publishing companies have stopped printing a lot of the old arrangements like that. And it's, we try everything we can to take the best care of it we can, because if we lose it, there will be no replacing it.
Yeah, yeah. It's a shame that you guys can't scan that stuff and then maybe put it on a phone or an iPad, mm-hmm. or something, and then just play it that way. But then again, you know, like, you know, a situation like you had before with the rain, then it's like, protect the iPad. So it's kind of the same situation, really. Oh, man. You can't win for losing, can you?
A lot of fun. A lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun every Sunday night and at the Quincy Park Band concerts in Madison Park. And they are raising money for a new band shelter, that a square design that would, and that would really fit in nice in the neighborhood there with those homes on South 24.
It's going to look great in the park.
Yeah. It really, really will. And the folks at St. Peter's, I'm sure, aren't going to mind. And the park district is happy with it, so... So, folks, all you need to do is either stop by Beer's Tax Service at 16th and State and drop off a check there or drop it off at the performances. And while you're there, I got to plug this one more time because it's very, very important for my coworker. You're going to want to get to there's a guest MC night every Sunday night during the summer as part of the fundraising effort. And Mary Griffith will be there on July the 6th. So Mary would very much like to win because, Jeff, you know this. John, you may not know this, but Mary kind of likes to direct a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mary directs a lot.
So that would be her dream gig, to direct you guys in the orchestra and make her a winner. So and that is awarded, I imagine, at the end of the season, correct?
So we're going to, the donations for all of our MCs to stop raising money will be the 13th, if I'm not mistaken, and then we'll announce the winner on the 20th, and then they'll be able to conduct that march at the Bicentennial Concert on the 27th.
Nice. Very, very nice. Jeff Schuking and John Hume with the Quincy Park Band. Guys, thank you so much for being here. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
You betcha. My pleasure indeed. Stay tuned. The latest news from Fox on the way at the top of the hour here on WTAD. Good morning.